Instead of me, how about we give this amazing team a huge round of applause? Have you enjoyed today? Yes, it's been incredible. You may be seated. Man, thanks for hanging around. How many of you have had an awesome time? Those breakout sessions, that entire lunch that we got together, being able to do a little art and some crafts. I love that, right? It's been amazing. Okay, so a couple of housekeeping things just before we dive in. Right after this session, I will be signing books if anybody's interested. I think there's still some for sale out there. But even if you don't want to grab a book just yet, can I ask you to grab a card? I have stacks of cards on the table. If for no other reason, grab it and pray for me, y'all. Pray for my family. The Lord has called us to a barren wilderness called the Pacific North. No, I'm kidding. How many of you know that the PNW is my mission field? It is the most unchurched city and region in all of America. It is spiritual warfare like I've never encountered. And I've pastored in Miami. I've pastored in LA. Like, friends, it is next level. But God is moving. He is moving, and we are so excited. So that is my request. Grab a card. Pray for me and my family. Pray for our church. We're a baby church that's only 3 years old, and the Lord just gave us a building. And y'all, it ain't a building like this, but it is such an amazing little building, and we're so excited because what y'all don't know is that where we live, they're not giving churches permits to build. Okay? Like, they're doing everything that they can to keep churches from being planted and built. And so God is moving anyway. And I am so excited and I'm so honored. And so you can scan this little QR code on the card to follow all the, Lord even knows all the different things. I can't even list them all now, right? And then this QR code tells you about the book and also can take you to it on Amazon. There's a Kindle version. There's all the things. All right, that's enough, right? Let's get to it. I'm so excited for this session. I gotta tell you, man, the Lord's been, I was excited about session one, but this session is the Lord, is the one that the Lord's been wrecking me over. In fact, this weekend, he shifted an entire part of it, and I know it's for someone here, and I'm so excited about what the Lord's gonna do in and through it in the life of someone. We talked this morning about the idea of the Lord as our shepherd, and how we lack nothing, and yet some of us still really wrestle with this idea. When you hear that, I lack nothing, you immediately go, yeah, but, right? Oh, you don't gotta raise your hand. I know. You go, oh, yeah, but. And so we've talked about the provision of God, but I wanna talk about God's provision in terms of your purpose. In terms of your specific calling from God to lead, in your specific response to everything that he's calling you to. And there are areas that I want to unpack this morning or this afternoon, I guess it is now. Y'all, it's still morning where I live. This afternoon, I want to talk through these three areas, and I don't care how old you are, or how long you've been walking with the Lord, or whether you're not even walking with him at all. These three areas are gonna be so important to really understanding God's provision and also his purpose in your life. And the first one, if you're taking notes, I know y'all are taking notes now. Your sense of self. Your sense of self. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about here. I know that most of us in this room have wrestled, do wrestle, maybe continually wrestle, whatever it is, with some form of insecurity. That's something that women wrestle with a lot. But there's a specific part of this that I want to speak to. And I'm going to do it through our new dog, Duke. We are a dog family. I never grew up as a dog in the house family. My mom's right here. She would have never let a dog in the house, although I did bring a rabbit in the house one time, and she didn't know, and I had it in my bed. That's a whole other story. So this is Izzy and Fulton when we first got Duke, okay? And we got him when he was like 6 months old, and I had no idea how big he would be. My husband is the dog person. And my daughter, Izzy's a dog person. We have Duke and Gizmo. Gizmo is not pictured. We won't tell him. But Duke, I didn't know that when you get a puppy, and if you're a dog person here, you're like, well, duh. But when you get a puppy, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you cut their hair, right? Before you get a puppy cut. You have to wait till they're a certain age. And so I didn't know that. And I remember Duke, we got one more picture of Duke with long hair. I mean, he got so furry and he's growing so big. He's a Labradoodle, but his mom was standard. So he's like a horse, y'all. He is so big. And so I remember the very first time he got his hair cut. And we have a picture of that. But when he, you can see how disappointed he is in it, right? The very first time Duke got his hair cut, we have like a floor, like a mirror that like leans on the floor. He walked straight up to that mirror and he's like, rah, 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 rah. He was so angry at what was staring back at him. And he didn't recognize himself at all. And I wondered, even this week, praying for each and every one of you, if the Lord has allowed some things to be cut away in your life to the point where when you look in the mirror, you don't even recognize yourself. And maybe the things that were cut away were things that needed to be cut away. It was necessary that they be cut away. And yet, you're mad. You look in the mirror and you don't recognize who you see and you're angry and you're not really sure what to do with that. And I gotta tell you, I have been there. I have been there in those positions where I'm like, Lord, why would you allow me to walk through this? I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even know what you've called me to. I'm so confused. I don't feel like I'm enough. And I wonder this morning if instead of going to maybe what social media says about you, instead of going to what that friend said about you, instead of going even to what your husband or ex-husband says about you, instead of going to what you say about you that you don't say out loud to others, what if we go to what the Lord says about you? What if we go to not just any part of what the Lord says about you, but what if we go to the very first time the Lord said anything about you? And that's what we want to go to this morning. Genesis 2, starting in verse 18. It is the very first thing God says. Called woman. Scripture says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man, that word there is human, we'll talk about that another time, to be alone. I will make a helper. Underline that in your Bibles, highlight it in your Bible app. I will make a helper suitable for him. That word there, helper, in the original language is Azer. Everybody say Azer. You want to know how cool the Holy Spirit works? I walk into the lobby. I see a sister with a whole book about it. Come on. I haven't read the book. I want to read the book. But look at how the Holy Spirit is working. That word there, Azer, in the original language means so much more than helper. In the original language, it literally means someone who comes when I cry for help. Now, that ain't an assistant. It could be, but it's not just an assistant. Helper. Did you know that throughout Scripture, that word is used over 20 times? 16 of the 20 times, it is in reference to God Himself delivering us. And He called you that. He didn't call you just helper, assistant. He called you deliverer. I'm gonna pause right there. Somebody needs to hear that. He called you deliverer. He called you this name that He refers to even Himself in. He called you a name of power and of strength and of might. And I want you to understand that God, from the very beginning, created you with power and strength and might. And I know some of you that have been raised in the church, you're going, well, excuse me, Pastor, what about 1 Peter 3:7? Doesn't it call us the weaker vessel? Then y'all ain't had kids. Let's be honest. 1 Peter is not talking about us being weaker in strength, spiritually, emotionally, physically. He is making a reference to the society of the day, and He's speaking to husbands saying, understand, you need to treat them with respect because they don't have the same pull in society that you do. That's what He was speaking to. I just blew some of your minds right there. You're going to go home and research it, and I invite you to do that. You have bought into this lie that you are weak. You, my friend, are not weak. You've bought into this lie that you are less than. No. The Lord called you a Zer. You have strength and power that you know not of. Did you know that throughout Scripture, continually, maybe I'll write a book one day. I have a start of like 6 new books. Y'all, I can't even wait. I can't wait to see what the Lord does next. But did you know that throughout Scripture, almost every single time that relationships are mentioned in regard to women, it uses military terms? You are warriors. God created you that way. From the beginning, some of you have kept trying to make yourself smaller to fit into some box that someone told you you were supposed to be. No. Read Scripture. God created you power beyond your belief. His power inside of you, wanting to operate, wanting to show you all that He's called you to. That's my first point for you. You're not even ready for 2 and 3, are you? Come on. I want to show you one of the passages, one of the passages that uses some of those military terms. And with that, it's going to be our second point. First one, your sense of self. You got to start with the understanding that God created you powerful. He created you strong. He created you capable. He desires to move in and through you in ways that you cannot fathom. And the second one is your sense of seasons. Your sense of seasons. Now, for some of you, this might be really hard since I am a pastor, and I'm going to willingly admit to you that there has been one passage of Scripture for the majority of my life that I have hated. Yes. And it is Proverbs 31. It has been read over me my whole life. Right? By so many amazing women, but every women's conference, it's read over me and I sit or stand and I cringe, if I'm honest. Now, let me show you why. Some of you maybe haven't, really gotten to dive into Scripture yet. Maybe you're new to this whole thing. Let me show you why I have had an issue with Proverbs 31 the majority of my life. Shall we read it together? We haven't read it today, so we have to. It's a women's conference. Come on. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. A wife, I'm going to stop right there. Underline, circle that word. When you see that word in most translations of Scripture, it just means woman. But when it was written, they didn't know of any other real role that a woman could have, so they called her wife. So some of you that God didn't call to get married, be released. You can walk in all the power and purpose that God has for you and not be married, right? Initially, you read Proverbs 31 and you thought, oh my gosh, I have to be a wife, but I don't think God's called me to this. And no, no, no. Be released. It actually means woman. A woman of noble character. We're going to stop right there again. That term, noble character, means valor. It is a military term. It means militaristic bravery and courage. Now, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Meaning, if you find this woman, you hit the jackpot, right? You won the lottery of life. Then it starts with a list about her. You guys ready? Verse 11. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. I want to stop there, though, because there's this beautiful picture that sometime maybe I'll get to come back and teach on it. That word full confidence doesn't mean that he just trusts her. It is a military term. It's a military term where two individuals are fighting and they put their backs to each other, and I watch his back and he watches mine, and we advance forward. If you are married in this place and that picture doesn't give you chills, that is a powerful picture, right? Of fighting together, advancing forward together for God's glory. Verse 12, she brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. Whoa, wait, every day? Some of y'all are not married, because that for me is funny. I'm like, every day? Okay, verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Okay, this girl is like down with manual labor, right? She's loading in and out right after service. She's hardcore. Verse 14. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Maybe she's kind of hippie, right? She goes out and forages. Who knows? Verse 15. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Okay, so this girl works the night shift when she needs to, and she provides not just for her family, but for everybody that also works for her. Okay, verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. Homegirl is in real estate now. Like, are you kidding me? And get this, and out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's a farmer too. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. Clearly, she does like CrossFit, Orange Theory, I don't know. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable. Okay, so she's a businesswoman, and her lamp does not go out at night. That I actually can relate to. She doesn't sleep at all. Verse 19, in her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. So she's a seamstress now. On top of all of this, there's time to create. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy, right? She cares for the disenfranchised. She's working at the table on the weekends, all of this. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She's already prepared for the next season before it even comes. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She's now a decorator as well. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. She's also a fabulous dresser. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She is now running her husband's political campaign. Like, you're laughing, but that is what that means. Okay, verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. So she's on Etsy. You can visit her store. She supplies the merchants with sashes. So apparently she has an Amazon link too. She is clothed with strength and dignity, right? People admire her, respect her, despite what she's walking through. She can laugh at the days to come. She has a great sense of humor. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's a wise teacher, clearly a social influencer. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's gluten-free, you guys. She is. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, that's a miracle to me. If your husband and your kids like you at the same time, like, that is next level. Anybody feel that struggle? Yeah. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Friends, who is this woman? Have you ever read that and thought, okay, not that, not that, not that, not that, not that? I have read it my whole life like a Pinterest to-do list that not only do I not live up to, but I never will. Not in reality. Maybe you'll look at my social media and think I'm doing all this. I'm not, right? That's not real. But you know what was so freeing to me? One of my Jewish sisters, she was so amazing. She was laughing at me one day as I was rattling off my frustration, right, with Proverbs 31. And she said, oh, you Christians, you totally don't get it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, that is not what Proverbs 31 is. She said, Ashley, look closer. And I said, tell me, please, because I don't want to hate this passage. And she said, if you look in most of your translations, especially the NIV, at the very beginning, it will say the sayings of King Lemuel that his mother taught him. Now, the beauty of this is that it's actually an acrostic poem in the Hebrew. What does that mean? That means the first line starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second line starts with the second letter. Why did they create it in that way? Why was it written in that way? Because they taught it not to young girls. They taught it to young boys as a memory verse, right? A song of repetition to teach them what? To teach them to celebrate every woman in their life in whatever season that woman is in. How beautiful. Friend, it's not a list of what we're supposed to be. It's a list of possible seasons. And it's a teaching to teach our children even to celebrate women in every single season, regardless of where they are, regardless of what part they're walking out. And man, if we can grasp this, if we can begin to celebrate not only the season that we're in, but the seasons that our sisters are in, instead of coveting their season. God, if you would just let me have her season. And he's saying, you have no idea what that season means to her. You have no idea what seasons she has walked through. And you have no idea what season I have for you next. What if we begin to hold on to this sense of seasons, understanding that good or bad, no season lasts forever. No season lasts forever. How many of you have looked at it? Maybe you have kiddos, and I remember this one time. I remember this one time my husband was traveling in the Middle East, and I was home with the babies, and Fulton was a newborn, and Fulton would not take a bottle at all, and so I just nursed him, but we all caught the stomach flu. Oh. And my mama is thousands of miles away, and I got no family that lives in the PNW. And I remember, I can say this because it's just a room full of women. I remember nursing him, holding Izzy's hair as she puked in the toilet. He would nurse, puke on me, and then I would puke, and then we'd all start it again. No season lasts forever. As hard as that was, right? I mean, that's a ha-ha hard. I've gone through ha-ha hard, and I've gone through hard that we don't even talk about, right? But I miss those moments when they're little and I can strap them to me and carry them around. But this is an amazing moment because she's 12. She gets to travel with me. no season lasts forever. What if we took the beauty of the season that we're in right now and we say, God, help me to grasp every single part of it that you're wanting me to value, every part of this season, Lord, that you're wanting me to learn, every single bit that I can enjoy, knowing that I won't have this season forever. And not just looking to the next season. My mom can tell you, friends, I used to, when I was in elementary school, it was, if I can just get to middle school, and when I was in middle school, if I can just get to high school, and when I was in high school, if I could just be in college, and when I was in college, if I could just be in grad school, and in grad school, well, if I could just work on my PhD, and when I was doing that, if I could just be married, and I was always looking to the seasons instead of enjoying where I am. And man, can I tell you, the Lord is helping me with this, and it is not something I've perfected. But it is a lesson that is so important for us because no season lasts forever. I just want to encourage you, stop making this passage a to-do list. Don't make it a to-do list for you or for someone else, right? And begin to work on celebrating each other. It will make all the difference. All right, number one. Your sense of self. My prayer is that as you look in the mirror, even this week, regardless of what you're walking through, regardless of how weak you feel, how not enough you feel that you are, that the Lord would remind you what he calls you, what he even first called you, and the power that he's put inside of you. Number two, that sense of seasons. Regardless, again, of what you are facing, maybe you are in the diaper changing season. Maybe you're in the I'm in school season. Maybe you're in the job training season. Maybe you're in the recovering season. Whatever season you're in, not letting someone else define that for you, but for you to go to the Lord and understand, Lord, help me to see every part of this season that you desire for me to see and to learn. Help me grasp every single part. And man, help me to appreciate it, Lord. We just ask. And this last point, man, this is for somebody today. This is what the Lord has wrecked me over. Number three, your sense of salvation. Your sense of salvation. I just have this overwhelming sense that someone's here and you're doubting whether Jesus is real at all. But it's not because of anything external. It's because you've said the prayer and you feel like you've given your life to him, but you still have struggles. And so maybe in your head you're thinking, well, then it didn't work. It's not real. Because scripture talks about new creation and I'm still wrestling with what I wrestled with a year ago. And so maybe this idea of salvation, man, I just don't, Ashley, I don't see it. I don't see it working out in my life the way that other people are saying it does for them. And I want to close with talking about the passage that I get, one of the passages that I get the most questions about. I get questions about, you know, the language in scripture and specific words, but this passage is one that people have so many questions about. It comes out of Philippians 2. Verse 12 says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot there, right? Maybe you're going, whoa, wait, why I gotta work out my salvation? Didn't Jesus do that? Like, why do I need to work that out? And then fear and trembling? I thought God said not to give, that he didn't give me a spirit of fear, right? He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. So Ashley, what does that even mean? I wanna start here. That word salvation in the original language actually means deliverance. It's not talking about your eternal security. Let me go ahead and clear that up for you. If you have said yes to Jesus, if you have put your belief and your trust in him and you've confessed him as Lord and Savior, then your eternal security is taken care of. We believe that you will spend eternity in heaven. But can I tell you, that is not all it's about. It's not just about heaven. God has called you to mission and purpose here and now on this earth. If it was only about spending eternity in heaven, then every single time one of us said yes to Jesus, he would go poof and just take us to heaven, right? But it's not. It's about him utilizing you, your gifts, your strength, everything he's put inside of you, him using that to point others to him. Now, we understand that this is not your eternal security. But do you see that Paul's writing here and he's saying, continue to work out your deliverance with fear and trembling. All right, before we get to the whole thing, I want to talk about the fear and trembling thing. Our translators have done such a good job in some ways and failed us miserably in others, right? The fear and trembling is really a colloquial term that means awe-filled reverence. Awe-filled reverence. And when I say that phrase, I immediately think about this one summer. So many of us were talking about going to undergrad at Lee University. I remember one summer I was at Lee, and a bunch of friends and I went and volunteered and worked as counselors on the Navajo reservation. And on the weekends, we would go and like just backpack, and we hit Mesa Verde, and we hit Painted Rock, and we hit Monument Valley, and we, all of these, Canyon de Chelly, all these incredible spaces. And everybody that I was with had already been to the Grand Canyon before, but I hadn't. And I remember we, for that weekend, rented a Jeep, and we were all driving up, but they stopped right before we even entered into the area, and they blindfolded me. And they were like, Ash, we're going to make this special for you. They blindfolded me, and we pulled up to the south rim, and it was a clear day. I could feel the sun on my face. And they walked me over to the edge, and they helped me sit down in a safe way. And they took the bandana off my head and backed away. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, but there's not one picture or video that will ever do it justice. And I sat there, and without saying a word, I was just filled with this awe. And I remember kind of shaking because it's so big, and it's so expansive, and it's so beautiful. That there weren't words to articulate, and then I realized, like, tears started flowing down my face. And I sat there for probably 2 hours and just had this moment of, like, awe-filled reverence. And my friends were conscious enough to not come and disturb that moment because it is so powerful. It's so personal. It's this idea of like experiencing something so massive and so beautiful and so incredible and so indescribable that there aren't words and all you do is shake in awe. That is what this passage is referencing. And so when you think about this idea, not fear and trembling, being scared, but being so filled with awe at what you're experiencing, at who or what you're seeing. And then Paul describes, hey, you're gonna have to continue to walk out this deliverance thing. What's he saying? The struggles that you have had, sure, maybe the Lord will immediately make those fall off. But more often than not, I have experienced that it's a walking out thing. It's a process thing. And I love how Paul is so clear because he says, but don't do it in a way that you're like trying to earn anything. No, don't do that because you can't earn any of it, right? Do it in a way that has your eyes fixed on who God is, that has your eyes fixed on how much he loves you, that has your eyes fixed on how perfectly he forgives you, how amazing his grace truly is, how holy he is, and yet he gives his righteousness to us. What if we allow the Holy Spirit of the living God to continue to transform us from the inside out as we just fall deeper and deeper in awe-filled love for him? Friend, if you still have struggles that you had yesterday, guess what? I do too. Is that freeing? I still got so much stuff that the Lord wants to work out of me. But he promises to do it. He promises. Look at the last part of that verse. It's further proof of this meaning. Continue to work out your salvation, your deliverance, with fear and trembling, awe-filled reverence, for it is who? It's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He will do it. He will do it in you. He will do it through you. All he's asking of you, fix your eyes on me. Trust me. Fall so deeply in love with the fact that I already love you perfect. But I know some of you right now, you're going, yeah, but Ashley, I've walked away from him. I've walked away from him. How can I even do that when I'm the one that walked away? A few years ago, Fulton was, I think he was 4, and Izzy was 7. And we were, we had flown to the East Coast. We were on vacation with all my family. I think it was Fripp Island. Anybody know Fripp off the coast of South Carolina? And there's a big Walmart, like right before you get close to the beach. And so we were going to hit you got to hit Walmart. What do you mean? Like, you got to stock up, right? Everybody's staying in the same house. And my sister and I walked into Walmart, and I had Fulton's hand, and I had Izzy's hand in the other, and my sister was with us, and we went and looked, and Fulton kept going, Mom, toys, 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 you know, like, and I'm like, yeah, buddy, I know, just give me a second, I need to grab a few groceries first, right, we got a list now, you know I got a list, right, and so, buddy, no, Mom, toys, toys, and buddy, I promise, we'll get to it, I promise, and so I remember taking the cart, and I put his hand down, but I put it on the cart, and then I reached up and I grabbed a few of the items. I put it in the cart, and I looked, and he was gone. And I remember I looked at my sister and I said, Luana, where Fulton? She goes, you had him. And I said, here's Izzy. And I took off running, and I'm running up and down the aisles, and I'm yelling his name, Fulton, Fulton, where's? And I couldn't find him, and people are looking at me like I'm crazy, and I couldn't care less. And I run to the front of the store, and I'm like, you locked the doors of this store. My child is missing, and I will find him. Lock the doors. And they're like, are you a crazy woman? And I'm, yes. Yes, I am. I am looking for my baby, and I'm looking around, and I'm yelling his name. Fulton, Fulton. And then I look in the back of the store, and he's crying, and he's so scared. And he looks at me, and I said, buddy. And I take off running to him, and he's running to me. And he said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, buddy, I don't care. I don't care what you did. I have you. I have you in my arms. That's all I care about. I don't care why you walked away. I don't care why you left. I don't care what pulled you there. I don't care. I have you in my arms. That is all I care about, because I love you. Friend, that's the way the Father feels about you. He doesn't care why you walked away. He doesn't care. You're his kid. You're his kid. He just wants you in his arms. He wants you in his arms. He wants you in his arms. And it doesn't matter how long you've been away or if you've never even turned to him in the first place. He loves you perfectly. And he has so much for you. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. If you have never said yes to this shepherd, this father that loves you so deeply and has so much for you, yes, eternal salvation in heaven, but so much for you here and now, so much freedom for you that he desires to work out and to walk out in your life through his spirit. If you've never said yes to him, you can do it right now. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I won't even have you lift your hand. This is a personal thing. You can do it. You and him right now. He knows your voice. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your heartbeat. He created it. Tell him in your own words, Lord, I wanna live my life for you. God, I'm so tired of living it for myself. Lord, I want the life that you have to offer. The abundant life. Friend, that word abundant doesn't mean more stuff. It means a bigger life, a life not just for you. And he offers it to you and for you. Just tell him. Tell him, Lord, I want you. I want everything that you have. I believe that you have it for me. If you're here today and man, you just, maybe you've been wrestling with this sense of self. Maybe you just feel so weak, so unworthy. Do you want to know why we're worthy? We're worthy because he calls us worthy. Because he paid the price for us. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, I can't possibly do what I feel like you've called me to. It just seems so big. And he said, oh, sweetheart, I'm going to do it through you. You thought you were just supposed to do it. No. I'm going to do it through you. Maybe today is that seasons thing. Maybe you're just wrestling with, oh, I want her season, or just not to be in this season. And the Lord wants to just deliver you from that and help you to begin to celebrate the exact season that you are in right here and right now, because it won't last forever. And there's parts in this season that he needs you to learn so that you can go into this next season. And guess what? There are parts of this season that you're gonna miss when you're out of it. So what if you cherish every part of it right now and celebrate your sisters in their seasons? And for those of you that are dealing with this deliverance thing, man, I know what it's like to toil and toil. Go, why am I still struggling with this? And I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, man, if you just get your eyes on me. And I know that's just a simple churchy thing, but friend, we're talking about, instead of having your to-do list and, oh man, I'm not measuring up. He said, no. What if you only have my voice in your ears? What if you only fix your eyes on me? And what if you worship me and allow my love to flood you in a way that changes your life forever? And then you look back in a year from now and you go, oh my goodness, I don't even struggle with that anymore. And I can't even believe it. That is what he wants to do in your life. As you allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you, as you spend time in his presence, as you let his voice be the loudest in your life, that's what he has for you. So much, so much love. The idea that perfect love casts out fear, it's not just the existence of perfect love. If that was the case, then none of us would fear ever, because he does love you perfectly. He already loves you perfectly. I wrote this on the mat that we all colored earlier. There's nothing that you can do that will make him love you more. Hear that? There's also nothing that you can do or have done that will make him love you less. He loves you perfect already. And once you begin to receive that and understand that he has that for you, that he feels that for you, fear can't stay. Fear can't survive there, because you understand how God sees you. And that's what he has for you, friend. So Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. God, you see what we're wrestling with. You see what we have, what we come with, Lord. God, we just want to fix our eyes on you in a way, Lord, that continually transforms us. That we are not the same person that we were yesterday because we just let your love wash over us, fresh and new. Lord, that you did give us a new sense of self and that you continue to give us a new sense of self. That you continue, Lord, to help us to comprehend seasons. God, and that you continue to work out this freedom, this deliverance, this abundant life in and through us in whatever way you choose. Lord, help us to make ourselves available, God, for you to do that in and now. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Before we go anywhere, what if we practice this? What if we practice this together as like our last act here at Bloom 2024? What if we practice the symbolism of moving from where we are into where we want to be? There's something powerful about symbols. They're all through scripture, are they not? So what if we as sisters got out of our seats right now and came to the front? Now just hear me out here. Hear me out. What if we spent just a couple minutes focused on this God that is so holy, that offers his righteousness to you, that literally has all the angels singing holy, and yet your praise is what he craves. Your song is what is a sweet essence. What if today, before we go, we pause and we worship him together? Now here's what I'm gonna have you do. I'm gonna see how well you guys are willing to follow this P&W girl. Stand up together if you can. I don't know about you, but my life, I can point back to moments at an altar. Now, altars can be anything. They can be, you know, sitting in your car, right? It can be your steering wheel. But I point back to moments at an altar where God shifted the trajectory of my life in a way that I could never have fathomed. So I wonder right now if you're willing to just come down. Here's what I'm thinking. Let's just worship together and see what the Lord does. Would you be willing to get out of your seat? Leaders, let's come on. Walk, 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 walk. This is the moment. I know you're hanging back. I know. Just what if you did? What if you just walk forward? What if we just spend time worshiping the God of the universe together because it's your worship that he desires? What if you're willing to shift in this moment and put your eyes on him in a way that he shifts your heart? He shifts your thinking and he begins that transformation in a way that you couldn't have imagined. Prayer team, I'm asking you right now, if you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Begin to walk through the crowd and pray for these amazing women. But right now, friends, I want you to fix your eyes, that awe-filled reverence on the God that is holy and loves you more than you can fathom. Let's sing it together.
'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. In all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Come on, we sing that again, your name.
this place today. We praise you for what you have started here today, Lord, for the seasonal transformations that you are making in people's lives, God. We praise you. We thank you for what is going to come, Lord. The generations that come beyond us, God, who are transformed by the seeds you plant today. Lord, we praise you for being here. We praise you that where two or three are gathered in your presence, you're there. So where 300 women come together to praise you, God, you dance over us, Lord. You sing your songs of blessing over these women. And you promise them that as they leave here today, they go clothed in your glory. They go dressed in your righteousness, Lord. May everything that they touch, Lord, cast the shadow of your glory, Lord, over their homes, over their families, over their workplaces, God, over their neighbors, over the people they ride with on the bus and their Uber drivers, Lord. That they shine with the presence of the most holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for being with us tomorrow and the next day and the next day. For you are the God who is with us eternally, forever and ever. Amen. Will you help me thank Ashley? Will you help me thank this wonderful praise team under Pastor Savannah? And she's hiding back there somewhere, but Allie Pierce and her Bloom team who made all of this happen. Today has been an amazing day, but it does not have to be the end. If you ask God to join you on the journey of your life today for the first time or for the first time in a very long time, as Pastor Kirk would say if he was here, then we want to make sure that you don't leave here today feeling like you're starting that journey alone. See one of our hosts, see one of our guest services people, see one of the men wandering around because you know they work here. That's the only reason they'd be here. And we'll make sure that we get you empowered with some next steps. We won't bother you. We won't hassle you. But we will make sure that you know that you are not going through this journey alone. If this is your home church, we hope that you have felt welcome and loved on by our entire team today. If you don't have a home church, welcome home. We'll be back here tomorrow, 9:45, 11:15. All right, so I'm here at 11:15. I'm sitting up here in this corner. If you're by yourself today and you want somebody to sit with you, I'll be back there tomorrow, okay? But I hope that you're all here. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for our team. Ashley will be in the atrium. She will be signing books if you didn't have a chance to get one or if you'd like to talk with her. Hope is here if you want to be shod in the glory of the makeup that she has had. I got my lip gloss. I'm an Esther, if you were wondering. But she's here. She's got a great lesson. And again, talking about seasons and confidence and just clothing yourself in righteousness and in God's love. What else? The merch shop is open if you didn't get a chance, and check your bag because you may have had a coupon in there, and that's for the lovely merchandise. I also want to thank all of our sponsors and our wonderful people, and many of you ask about the beautiful flowers that were there at lunch. Those were all donated by Mike Whittle Florist. He has dressed beautifully. Those luncheon flowers have now been moved outside. They are around the fire pit. Now, ladies, they are for you to take home, but you are ladies and you act with grace and dignity, please. We do not have enough flowers for all of you, and we don't want anybody arm wrestling over a carnation, all right? Don't go taking the flowers out of the urinals either. Those are fake. We'll reuse those again. But if you do want those affirmation cards that were in there to pray out, to look at yourself in the mirror and have a word over you, or if you've got a sister that you would like to share those with, you're welcome to take some of those as well. Last thing I have for you is if you gave us the privilege of watching your children today, you do have to take them home with you. And before you leave, we want to make sure that your soul is fed, your body is fed. So we have some lovely crumble cookies that you can eat without telling your children if that's your thing. All right? So you do not have to share or half your cookie. Did I get them?
Did I get it all?
Did I get it all? God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May be with you every day, wherever you go, in everything that you do. You are dismissed, ladies.